Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Shia at the Young Israel of Woodmere. This is our last Shia before we break for Yantif. There is no Shia next week, which is Mamish Erev Yantif. And there's no Shia on over Pesach, Chol HaMoed, so Be'ezrat Hashem. We're after this, we're off to after Chag. Okay, so let us go. We're continuing with the same theme that we spoke about two weeks ago and last week, which is insights into Haggadah Shel Pesach as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Pesach, which is soon upon us. And we are going to be sharing insights related to Leil HaSeder and different sections of the Haggadah, like we did last week, Dayenu, and like we did the week before, Shvoch Hamascha, and then Ultimate Geula. We are continuing with Pesach insights into Haggadah Pesach. Okay, so last week I really wanted to share this and I didn't have time, so I'm going to begin here. In one of the things in Dayenu, towards the end of the 15 stanzas and milos that we give thanks to God for, Ilu nasan lanu es haTorah, had God given us the Torah, velo hichnisanu the Eretz Yisrael, and he did not take us into Eretz Yisrael, Dayenu, it would have been enough for us. And then, Ilu hichnisanu the Eretz Yisrael, velo banalanu es beis habechira, Dayenu. So at the end of the poem, if you will, of Dayenu, we speak about, we got the Torah, it would have been enough for us. We got into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been enough for us. If we wouldn't have built the base of Mikdash. And then, of course, we say, you did all of those things. So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal asks, well, how do we understand, Ilu nasan lanu es haTorah, velo hichnisanu the Eretz Yisrael, Dayenu? Would have been enough for us if we received the Torah, but not entered into Eretz Yisrael. So I think we all know here, I think everyone in the room shares the same sentiments as to how we feel about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh, in modern day and age, Medinat Yisrael. So how do we understand this? So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal writes and teaches as follows. Imagine without Eretz Yisrael, we would have remained in the wilderness as a nation without a land. Similar to Bedouins, even when we are in exile, we are still a nation with a land. So we are always attached to Eretz Yisrael, no matter where we are. But imagine had we lived in, had we not gotten Eretz Yisrael, we would have remained in the wilderness, a nation without a land. Similar to Bedouins, we would have been a wandering people who never had a land to call their own. Nevertheless, the power and the Kedusha, the holiness of the Torah, are so great, the Torah would have lifted us up over all difficulties. So, Ilu nasan lanu es haTorah, velo hichnisanu the Eretz Yisrael, would have actually been Dayenu, because the power of the Torah itself would have been enough to lift us up. So, before you all start revolting and, you know, and saying it's not true, let me just get through this piece. And if you think it's only true because I'm quoting a Haredi, so to speak, rabbi, after I quote Rav Shimon Schwab, I'm going to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav as well, who expresses a very similar idea as Rav Schwab. Every other nation in the world, says Rav Schwab, requires a land. Through the land, they developed their law and their constitution. When you think of the American Revolution, they were fighting for a land. Land gave them independence. Then they had the Declaration of Independence. Then they formed their country. Every other nation in the world requires a land as a cohesive force. And then they developed the laws of the land and the constitution. However, as far as the Bnei Yisrael, Am Yisrael, are concerned, we had our laws and our constitution, which is the Torah HaKadosha, well before we ever entered or took possession of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Ilu nasan lanu es haTorah, velo hichnisanu the Eretz Yisrael, Dayenu. Our nationhood is not based on land, but rather our land is the place where we can best apply the Torah and live as an Am Segula. The nationhood of Eretz Yisrael is not dependent on the land. What is the greatest proof of that? That we existed after almost 2,000 years of Churban and Galus before the Medina was established. And yet, how did we survive? Because our nation is not dependent upon the land of Israel. We could not for one moment survive without Torah. However, unfortunately, we were forced to exist without a land for close to 2,000 years. The Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, Perachof Zayin, Psukim Tes through Yod, Haskes, pay attention, Ushma Yisrael, and listen Israel, Hayom Hazeh, this day, Nihiyes La'am, La'Hashem Elokecha, you have become a nation to Hashem your God. V'shamata b'kol Hashem Elokecha, you should listen to the voice of the Lord your God. V'asisa, it's called, as mitzvosav, as chukosav, should do his mitzvos and his chukim. And Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch on these Psukim quotes as follows. I'm still quoting Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab quotes of Shamsher Fal Hirsch. And Rav Hirsch says, today, pay attention and listen, Israel. Today you have become a people to Hashem, your God. You are to know today, before you get possession of land. Remember, Sefer Devarim is Moshe's goodbye letter to the people. So they are still on Averly Yarden. They have not yet entered Eretz Yisrael. Before you take possession and receive the land, the common obligation and responsibility for the Torah is what makes you into a nation. And that's how we're able to say, Ilu nasan lanu es haTorah, ve'lo ichnisanu le'Eretz Yisrael, dayenu. You can lose the land, as indeed you may, continues Rav Hirsch. But the Torah and your everlasting duty to Torah remains your permanent and irrevocable bond which unites you as a nation. Unlike nations, therefore, it is the Torah and not the land that unites us. So when there was a fight for independence here from the British, the people were fighting for their land, and that land formed them into a nation. We got the Torah well before we entered into Eretz Yisrael. The meaning of Shelo Asanu Kigoye Ha'artzos, like we say in the Tefillah of Aleinu, He did not make us Kigoye Ha'artzos, like the nations with lands. He did not make us like that. We are a nation with Torah. And then we were blessed with a land, but the Torah came first. He did not form us into a nation, says Rav Schwab, as other nations were formed. The origin of formation of all other nations is based primarily on their possession of a land from which they would not be evicted. Their governmental systems were based on the consent of the governed, as in democracies, or by the power of the king or the ruler, and he forced the people to obey. However, with the Jewish nation, our nationality and our uniting force is Torah alone. And the benefit and the gift of the land is that this is the place where Torah can best be applied. So this is not... I made a bracha. This is not... Perhaps the most Zionistic Dvar Torah, but it's MS. Just look at the history. What came first, the Torah or the land? The Torah came first. Where did we receive the Torah? In Averly Yarden. Where were we? In the Midbar. And somehow we wandered for 40 years after that. And we survived for 2,000 years since the Churban Bayis in 70 Common Era until the establishment of the state in 1948, while before there was ever a resurgence of a Jewish commonwealth in the land of Israel. And we have to understand, V'hi sha'am da'lav oseinu v'lanu, what is V'hi? Shisha sidre mishnah, chamisha chum shei Torah, la'ser sadirbos, and the Aleph is Hashem is Achad. You could also say the Aleph is Eretz Yisrael. Oh. But what comes first? I never thought of that only because of what we're talking about today. Okay, we could say that as well. Here you go. What's Vihi? New insight. Shisha Sidre Mishnah, Chamisha Chumshe Torah, Aserasa Dibros, and Eretz Yisrael. But what comes first? Torah, then Eretz Yisrael. So even if you want to offer a novel interpretation at your Leil HaSeder, the reality is that Torah still comes before the Aleph of Eretz Yisrael. So if you think that comes from a Haredi, to use labels, anti-Zionist, because if you read some of the teachings in Mayan Beis HaShoeva, definitely what I would not call Zionistic leanings at all. However, what does Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, have to say? Rabbi Salvechik says, this is from the Sefer, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. The Rav says, the brutal execution of the Asara Huge Malchus, the 10 martyrs, we read about them on Tisha B'Av in the Kinnis, and we read about them on Yom HaKippurim during Seder Avodah. The brutal execution of the 10 martyrs must be seen against the backdrop of Rome's policy towards the Jews at the time of the Churban and in the aftermath of the Churban. It was at the hands of the Romans that these 10 great scholars, sages, rabbis were put to death. Initially, after the Churban, quote, Rome did not institute any religious persecution. Rome thought, quote, once the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, the Jewish people would assimilate into the general population. We have destroyed your temple. We ruined your commonwealth. We plowed over Harbais. We took you into exile. There will be no more. Yisrael, the way of the world is Al Piteva. There should be no more nation. After in a number of generations, there should be no more of that nation. With the Bar Kokhba rebellion, however, which was sanctioned by Rabbi Akiva, they realized that even though they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish community still remained loyal to God. It must be that something else was the cohesive force that unites the people and not the land. They realized, and I quote directly from the Rav, the strength of the Jew is not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash, but Torah and observance of mitzvos is the cohesive force that unites the Jew and made them carry on under the worst of circumstances. So what helps us carry on the vihi under the worst of circumstances? It is Torah and Asiyas HaMitzvos. And then when Rome realized that destroying the Beis HaMikdash and exiling us from our land was not enough to destroy us, then they went after Torah. So who did they pick to go after? The Nazis would go in and they would cut off the rabbi's beard in public, shave off his pace, humiliate him. Who did the Romans go after? The Rabbanim, the leaders, the teachers of Torah, because they realize that this is, quote, the cohesive force that gives Am Yisrael the strength to unite and carry on. And so then Rome began a form of restrictive decrees that inundated the Jewish community. It was at that time that the 10 martyrs were killed. So we have to understand what the main, we can never let Ahavas Eretz Yisrael and Ahavas Medina Yisrael replace our adherence to Torah and our love for Torah and mitzvahs. We have to know our priorities, what keeps us together as a nation, Ilu Nasan Lanu as a Torah, Velo Ichnisan Eretz Yisrael. Nobody who learns with me, even in one shir, could say, Mich Aris does not have love of Eretz Yisrael and love of Medina Yisrael. It's totally impossible. It means you don't know me at all and you never heard a shir from me and you don't know anything about me if you say that. But Lamaisa, the first thing you have to know is what is important, of paramount, non-negotiable importance in the life of a Jew is Torah and mitzvos, and that is what keeps us together. Now I want to talk about the Beis HaMikdash. So that is the segue into the next insight. The Beis HaMikdash plays a prominent role as well. Longing, I should say, or yearning for the Beis HaMikdash plays a prominent role on Leil HaSeder during the course of the Haggadah. So, Alachas kama v'kama tovu michu kufula michu palas l'makab aleinu. After Dayenu, we say God all these did these wonderful things. And the final thing in the process of thanking God for all the stages of Dayenu is ubanulanu espesa b'chira. So l'maisa, after he gave us the Torah in Chutz La'aretz, he took us into Eretz Yisrael, and he did build for us the Beis HaMikdash, which we mentioned both in Dayenu and in the paragraph right after Dayenu, Ubalanu Espesa Bechira. He built for us the chosen house, Y'lechaper Al Kol Avenoseinu, to give us kapar, this is from the Haggadah, to give us kapar for all of our transgressions. Furthermore, Pesach Matzu Marah, Rabban Gamliel says that Kol Shalo Amar, Shlosha Dvarim Elu, Lo Yatzal Yedechol Vasu. Pasach Matzah Umara. Why do we eat the carbon Pasach? So what do we say? Pasach Shahayu Avoseinu Ochlim Bizman Shabes Hamikdash Haya Kayam. We remember the carbon Pasach. The whole Zroa on the Seder plate is only a remembrance of the carbon Pasach. The carbon Pasach was brought when? In the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, the very final blessing of Magid, the final concluding bracha of Magid, is a bracha for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaMashiach, Asher Ga'alnu V'Ga'al Savaseinu Mitzrayim. Blessed is God who redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers from Egypt. V'Gi'anu HaLayla Zeh L'Achol Bo Matzah U'Marah. He brought us to this night to eat matzah and marah. Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei V'Seinu Yageinu L'Mo'adim V'L'Ragalim Achirim. God should bring us to other Yamim Tovim and appointed times. Habayim L'Kraseinu L'Shalom. We should come to those times in peace. Smeichim B'Vin. This is the conclusion to Magid. This is the last words of Magid before the Hagafen, and he drinks the cup of Magid. Smeichim bivinyan irecha, rejoicing in the building of your city. V'sasim ba'avodasecha. What avoda are we talking about? Rejoicing in the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. V'nochal sham min hazvachim min hapsachim. When will we eat from the zvachim and the psachim? When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and we could bring karbanos again. Asher yagia damam al kirms b'chachal ratzon. The blood will be sprinkled on the wall of the mizbeach for an appeasement. V'noda lecha shir chadash al gulosenu v'al pedus tavshenu. We will sing a new song over our redemption and the redemption of our soul. Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So the final cook, so we mentioned the Beis HaBechira in Dayenu. We mentioned the Beis HaBechira in Alachas Kama V'Kama. We mentioned the Bazman Beis HaMikdash by Rabbi Gamliel's Pesach. We mentioned the whole Zroa is to remind us of the Korban Pesach. The egg is to remind us of the Korban Chagiga. And how do we conclude the entire passage of Magid with a tefillah that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt? And how do we conclude the whole Seder? L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habanuya. So there's a great longing for the restoration of the city of Yerushalayim. And this does not contradict the first insight at all. Eretz Yisrael complements and enhances our ability to be Ovdei Hashem because we can do more mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael than we can do here. So clearly the Torah is the blueprint for how to be a Jew maximally where in Eretz Yisrael. You can't keep Shemitah, you can't keep Yovel, Truma, Aliyah L'Regel, Hakel, all those mitzvahs cannot be done here. Hafreshes Challah today is only a Derabanan. First of all, it's only really in Eretz Yisrael, Parsha Shlach, Perek Tesvav. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. When you come to the land, it's in Parsha Shlach and Perek Tesvav, because the beginning of Parsha Shlach tells you about the sin of the Meraglim. They rejected the land, so Hashem comes and gives us a mitzvah of tikkun. What is the tikkun? To take the produce of the land and not denigrate it and slander it, elevate it. So today we don't have a base of mikdash. You can't give the challah to the kohen. It's only a derabanan and you're in chutzlarts. So the Torah is meant to best be kept in Eretz Yisrael. So we daven for the base of mikdash to be rebuilt and for our people to be restored. So not only will we have this nebuch egg and little shank bone to remember what was, we'll actually be able to bring the karbanos. And that's how we end Magid. I now quote from Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. And the Rav Asher Weiss Haggadah. So he quotes the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, okay? Peches Amar Aleph. And the Gemara says, what? The Gemara first begins by quoting the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, the Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, my dichtiv, what does the Pasuk mean? V'holchu amim rabim, v'amru, it's such a beautiful Pasuk. And many nations will go and they will say, L'chu v'na'ale. El Har Hashem, let us go and ascend the Mount of God, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. The full pasuk continues with, V'yoreinu midrachav, we will rejoice in his ways, V'ne'achal ba'orchasav, we will go in his paths, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk, but that's the whole pasuk. It's from Yeshayahu, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Many nations will say, let us go ascend to the Mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Yaakov, and we will rejoice in his ways and go in his paths. From Tzion comes forth Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Avram v'Yitzchak. The pasuk says, L'chu v'na'ale al har Hashem, let us go and ascend the Mount of God, el beis, el beit, elokei, Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. So the Gemara says, elokei Yaakov, is it only that God is the God of Yaakov, velo elokei Avram? Why don't we say, to the house of the God of Abraham? Why don't we say, says the Gemara, elokei Yitzchak? Why do we say, al har Hashem, el beis, elokei Yaakov, ela? But each of the patriarchs called Har Habayis something else. So the Gemara, what did Avram call it? Avram called it in the aftermath of the Akedas Yitzchak, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. Lo ka Avram shekasu bohar. We don't call it a mountain like Avram called it. What do we call the Beis HaMikdash? We don't call it a Har HaMikdash. We don't call it a Sadeh Mikdash like Yitzchak. We call it a Beis HaMikdash like Yaakov, which is why we refer to it as the God of the house of Yaakov. So we don't call it like Avram called it, Shekasu Bohar. Avram called it a mountain, Asher Yamar Hayam Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. In the aftermath of the Akedah, he calls it a har. V'lo ki Yitzchak, and we don't call it a Yitzchak, Shekasu Bo. What is Yitzchak doing when the Shidduch is coming? He's davening. Where is he davening? In the field. Where's the field where he's davening? Har HaMoria. Not like Yitzchak. Yitzchak says the Gemara Lasuach Basadeh. We don't call it a har like Avram. We don't call it a sadeh like Yitzchak. Eloki Yaakov. We call it like Yaakov called it. What did Yaakov call it? A bias. Vayikra Hashem Hamakom Ahu Beis El. Yaakov wakes up from his famous dream. Parachav Ches. And what does he say? Ein Zekiim Beis Elokim. V'zeh shar ha-shamayim. Achein lo yadati, ki anoch, achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. And he says this is none other than the house of God. So Avram calls it a har. We don't call it a har. Yitzchak calls it a sada. We don't call it a sada. Yaakov calls it a bias. We call it a bias. That's what the Gemara says. So now Rav Asher Weiss and the Rav Asher Weiss Haggadah could be brought down in other places in Israel, I don't know, explains the significance of calling it a har. Yaakov's name for the Beis HaMikdash was chosen over the names of Avram and Yitzchak. Why? What does it come to teach us? That's what we have to ask. Not, of course, to disparage our holy forefathers, says Rav Asher Weiss. It is impossible for us to understand the intentions of Avram when he called it a har, and the intentions of Yitzchak when he labeled it a sadeh. But it provides us with an important lesson in education. And he's going to explain how. And this is so important for Leil HaSeder, because so much of Leil HaSeder revolves around who? Kadesha Yishalu HaTinogos. Why do you cover the Seder plate, uncover the Seder plate, remove the car, bring back the car, pick up the cup, put down the cup, the Manishtana, the Arba Banim. So much has to do with Kadesha Yishalu HaTinogos. He says the names of the patriarchs teach us a lesson. The names that the patriarchs called the Mount of God teaches us a lesson in chinuch. How so? Many people wish to influence the world and perfect it. Many people also wish to influence the world and destroy it. But we're talking about the good people. Many people wish to influence the world and perfect the world. Some build their proverbial Beis HaMikdash on the mountaintops. What does that represent? You built it in a high spot where everybody could see. You're calling out. You're like making an announcement. You're calling out to others to come join you in the service of God. It's a very visible place. When it was Rosh Chodesh in temple times, what did they do? They would light the fires on the mountaintops so people in the next city could determine that the Sanhedrin accepted the testimony of the Edom. Why the mountaintops? You don't do it in a valley. In a valley, no one could see. You do where someone can see. So a mountain represents you want to influence and perfect the world. You put it in a high up spot where you could influence and others get your message as well. This was the way of, makes so much sense, Avram Avinu. What did Avram do? Vayita Esha Baber Sheva Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kelowam. Rashi explains, when people would finish eating, he would say, Berich, you don't bless me, Berich L'misha Achaltam. Bless the one who created the world and you ate from his. Avram Avinu's whole life mission. There was no Am Yisrael yet. He was one person. To bring an awareness of God to the world. This is symbolized on a har, where you call out from a mountain. It's visible. It's high up. Avram Avinu, however, had a Yishmael. Yishmael was born from him. But his mission was to influence the world. Others build the base, their own proverbial base of Mikdash. They want to influence the world. How? By going into the fields, into the markets, into other such public places to search for Hashem's lost children and bring them back. You go into the bars, the Rav Yitzchak Grossman, the disco rabbi, they called him. If you read his biography, it was really wonderful. I read it when it came out last year. He won the Israel Prize, which is the highest prize awarded by the state of Israel for work of a citizen to change Israeli society. It's an Artscroll biography. It's really Rav Yitzchak David Grossman. It's really amazing. Does anyone remember what it's called? It's the Artscroll book on him. I don't know. He built Migdal HaEmek. So others influence the world by going out to the fields, to the markets, to public places to search for Hashem's lost children and draw them back into his service. This is the method chosen by Yitzchak, who called the Beis HaMikdash. That's what a field represents. A field represents you go out to the field to draw others in. However, Yitzchak was not totally successful because, like Avram had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav HaRasha. What's the difference between a har, you call out for the whole world to see, a sada, you go out into the world and get people, and finally, a bias. Yaakov Avinu, who the Gemara calls the Bechir Shabba Avos, who had the 12 Shvatim, he's the father of the Shiftei Ka, and he became not an individual, not a Yachid, but the father of Am Yisrael, we're even called after him. We're now called Am Avram, and we're now called Am Yitzchak. Am Yisrael itself is a reference back to Yaakov Avinu, that was his other name, who declared that this place is the house, a bias. Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, Vezesh Shar Shemayim. He called the place Beis El. It used to be called Luz, says the Torah, now it's Beis El. Yaakov called the Beis HaMikdash a house. He realized the most stable and powerful influence a person can have on the world. Building on the mountaintops comes second. Going to the fields comes third. What comes first and foremost is directing your efforts towards your home, inwards, towards the bias that you build. Yaakov built his home as a protective fortress against the negative influences of the world. Now, it doesn't mean we become hermits, no. And it doesn't mean you only live in your house, no. That's not what Asher Weiss means, and of course, that's not what the Gemara means. But the primary investment of a person's efforts is first and foremost in the bias. Then you can go to the Sada if you have extra time. Then you can put your banner on the mountaintops if you have really a lot of extra time. But the primary tafkut of a person is to build a bias. His home was not a mountain exposed to the wind and the elements. His home was not a field free for all to enter. A field is open to everybody. If you're involved in that type of cure work, you have to be a very strong person. Because why? There's all types of elements in a field. Yaakov built a bias, a fortified home. And he merited that all of his children were righteous. We find the site of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, referred to as Har HaBayis, the mountain of the house. This teaches us that the Jewish home must be a protective fortress for us and our children, also a mountaintop through which Torah is disseminated through the world. So we can't keep it all inwards. The Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, and he was an example, a shining, glorious, tzidkus example of someone who believed in and was successful, going out into the world, putting the banner on the mountaintop, going out into the field and creating home. And he had such siyata d'shmaya and so do his shlichim, because they're tremendously successful. And you have to have a very strong degree of siyata d'shmaya to be that person. And he was. The Torah must be disseminated through the world. That's the har. But first and foremost, the person must build their bias. By protecting our home, says Rav Asher Weiss, from negative influences, we can turn them into lighthouses that will spread the light of Torah and the word of God throughout the world. And the whole point of Leil HaSeder is, Ki yish'alcha bincha machar ma'avodah zos lechem, v'yigadata lo bincha bayamahu leimor. The whole point of Leil HaSeder is, Ki dei sheyish'alu hatinokos. So yes, we open our home to others, kol dichvin yeseh v'yecha, kol ditzuch yeseh v'yivsach, but you must primarily know, like the Gemara says in Pesach, in Peches Av, we don't call it a har. It's not the Har HaMikdash, and we don't call it a Sada. It's not the Sada Mikdash. We call it Beis Hashem. Balanu es Beis HaBechira Dayenu. Hashem will build for us, did in the past, and will build the bias. Yaakov Avinu merited 12 righteous tribes, and it teaches us all that our focus must be on the bias. I'm now going a similar related thought from Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Levracha. Okay, and he too in this piece talks about education. This is actually a piece on Echad Miyodeh. You know, when you get to end the Seder, no one's really saying the Divrei Torah anymore because, like, it's really late and you did everything, so you're just singing the song. So, Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, Zichrono Levracha, this is commentary. This is from it's called the Jonathan Sachs Haggadah. Okay. And it's commentary to Echad Miyodeh. So you know the Beishak song. Who knows one? God is one. Okay. Who knows two? Two are the Luchos. Three, the Avos, the Imaos. Okay. The song, One Little Goat. No, I'm sorry. Who knows one? This song, like the song One Little Goat. So he says, this song, Echad Miyodeh, just like Chad Gadya, appears for the first time when? This appears a little bit of a historical lesson. This song appears for the first time in the Prague Haggadah of 1590. 1590. It's very recent. This is very new. 1590 is 10 years away from 1600. Talking about 430 years ago is the first time that we find these poems appearing. Interesting. Though there is evidence it was known and sung several centuries earlier, we do not have a recording of that. So the first time we actually see it is in a Prague Haggadah from 1590. In medieval Avignon, A-V-I-G-N-O-N, medieval Avignon, it was sung on the festival of Sukkot. In Cochin, it was sung at weddings, probably brought to India by Spanish or Portuguese Jewish merchants. In this, as in so many other medieval additions to the Haggadah, we can trace the spread of customs from one part of the Jewish community and world to the other. This is testimony to the fact that Jews were dispersed at an age when international travel was rare and hazardous. Yet Jews throughout the world maintained contact with one another and saw themselves as a global people, which really goes back to the first Vartar, that we survive wherever we are from keeping our customs and our adherence to Torah. Not through our... I just need a tissue.
Thank you.
Who knows one, Echad Miyodeh, is almost certainly a song that comes originally from the schoolroom, right? We would call today the classroom. Think about it. How do you teach children? You know, I remember songs that I learned, okay, a song that I learned, I guess it was in 10th or 11th grade in high school. I don't remember anything else from the math class. No, really, it's not my forte. My poor children, if they ever need help in these subjects, they can't come to their mother. I'm not going to sing it, but when you multiply, cancel, and when you divide, you actually multiply, but first you must reciprocate. Do it first or it's too late. I know the tune also. It's about fractions. When you're multiplying, fractions cancel. And when you divide, you actually multiply, but first you must reciprocate. Do it first or it's too late. Because it has a tune. You know why I remember it? Because it's a song. So how would you teach children what is one is God? Through song. How would you teach children what's two are the luchos, through song. What's three, what's four, Sesame Street song. The songs are from decades ago, you remember. This song, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who knows one, is almost certainly a song that originated in the schoolroom, what we would call the classroom. It evokes the remarkable world of Jewish education. At a time when the rest of Europe was sunk in ignorance and illiteracy. So I'm using the insight of Rav Asher Weiss about bias as a springboard to move into this idea of chinuch. The rest of Europe was sunk in ignorance and illiteracy, and the Jews were focusing on education. Wherever they went, Jews built schools, often supported by communal funds, to ensure that every child has an education. In the early Middle Ages, a pupil of the great Christian thinker Abelard, observed. Right, this was a Christian thinker's pupil. A Jew, however poor, if he has 10 sons, will put them all to letters. So he'll teach them all. Again, it's medieval English, but a Jew, however poor, if he has 10 sons, will put them all to letters, not for gain, as the Christians do, but for the understanding of God's law. Not for the purpose of education, for gain, so you could make a parnasa, so you could go out and conquer the world, so you could make money, so you could become rich. Why does a Jew, if he has 10 sons, puts them all to letters for the understanding of God's laws? Not only his sons, but his daughters too. And that's extremely interesting, because the way we understand generally is that women did not have opportunities for education until very recent times. The history, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, of Jewish education is unique. More than 1,000 years before the Common Era, 1,000 BCE, in the period of the Judges, we read of how Gideon spoke to a young man he met in the town of Sukkot. He asked him to write down the name of the town's elders. He did so, producing a list of 77 names. He refers us to Shoftim Perachas. But this episode suggests that already 3,000 years ago, universal literacy was normal amongst the Jews. It did not become a feature of Europe until the late 19th century. The Jews have focused on education from time immemorial, and the whole Haggadah is based on educating the children. Who knows one, Echad Miyodea, is probably the song through which Jewish children, he says, were taught to count. So I said it's a song to teach them the basic tenets of our faith. Eight is Milah, last week was Parshas Tizria. But he says, perhaps it was a song that was teaching Jewish children how to count numbers, and suggests that even secular instruction, such as arithmetic, was infused with religious meaning. So every lesson, whether it's science or biology, which is a kind of science, okay, geology, astronomy, math, can be given through the lens of Torah. So how do they teach children to count? With Torah lessons. One is the Shem, two is the Luchos, three are the patriarchs, four are the Imahot. The numbers each had their significance in the spiritual life of Judaism. Five is the Torah. A lovely description has survived from medieval Ashkenaz, where this song was composed, of how a Jewish child was brought to his first day of school. Medieval Ashkenaz. We're going back hundreds of years. To how a Jewish child was brought to his first day of school. What did Yaakov call it? The Gemara says in Pesachim. We don't call it Ahar, like Avram. We don't call it a Sada. We call it a Bayis. What do we call a school? A Beit Sefer. Interesting. It means, what's Sefer? To tell, but it also means to count. Ah, what do we call it? A Beit Sefer. So interesting. There's a dual purpose. We are telling the children, Sipur, Lisaper, Sipur, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We're also teaching them how to count. You don't have to know, be a person of the world. Your wife asked you to go to the store and buy 5 sweet potatoes. You got to know. That was on the list this morning. That's why. First I wrote 4, then I sent a text that said, make it 5. You have to know what 5 is and you have to know what 4 is. What's a Beit Sefer? It's a place of telling and instruction in Sippur, and it's a place of counting. How is a Jewish child brought to his first day of school? On a account from medieval Ashkenaz brought down in Machzor Vitri. But I'm still quoting Rabbi Sacks. They write the letters of the Hebrew alphabet on a board for him. They write the letters of the Alphabet on a board, B-O-A-R-D for him. And they wash him and dress him in clean garments. And they knead him 3 loaves of fine wheat in honey. And they boil for him 3 eggs and bring him apples and other kinds of fruit. And they seek a worthy sage to conduct him to the schoolhouse. He covers him with a prayer shawl. He brings him to the synagogue, which is also, by the way, called a base, Knesset, where they feed him the loaves of honey and the egg and the fruit, and they read him the letters. After that, they cover the board with honey and they tell him to lick it. Then they lead him back to his mother. Why is this so interesting? Because this is what's done today to a little boy who has an upshare. Okay, so I don't think the kid would be very happy with boiled eggs. But you take them to the rabbi today and they put honey on the aleph, lick the honey. Mem, tav, emes, and you give him a candy. This has been going on for hundreds of years. That is a direct quote from Machzor Vitri of how it was in medieval Jewish communities when they brought the child to learn Torah. Beit Sefer. This ceremony graphically conveyed to the child, says Rabbi Sacks, that learning is sweet. As sweet as honey, that the entire community is rejoicing when the child begins his studies, and that by doing so, he is entering a life that would eventually see him charged with responsibility for continuing the tradition and passing it on, in turn, to his own children and his own students. Soloveitchik has a very powerful piece on this, which I don't have in front of me, and I'm not quoting from it. I wouldn't have time. I hope I have time to get through everything I prepared in the first place, but where he talks about Sippur, the root word. Lispar, it means to count. Sippur, it means to tell. And Sofer, it means a scribe. Samich Pei Resh, to count, to tell. A scribe, right, Sofer Stam. And also a book, Sefer. The father, or the Rabbi, says the Rav, through telling of the story, Sippur Yitziyah Mitzrayim, becomes the sofer who is inscribing the story, the Mesorah, the Torah, into the book who is the child. Through the power of Sippur, the father is the sofer who inscribes proverbially the reality of Torah into the sefer, which is who? The child. And as the child grows, he will become the sofer who will tell the Sippur and inscribe it on the next generation. And on and on and on and on. Relates here to what Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says. By bringing this child in this way, we teach him that Torah is sweet. He is entering a life. Eventually, he will be charged with the responsibility for continuing the tradition. So much of Leil HaSeder is based on Mesorah and tradition. Why do you do it? Because my father did it. And he, in turn, will pass it on to his children. No other civilization has invested the life of learning with such simple beauty and high religious drama. No other, I'm repeating it, civilization has invested the life of learning with such simple beauty and high religious drama. And I think that it's also a lesson for us as adults, a very important lesson for us as adults, because a Talmid Chacham is called a wise student. He is never referred to. The highest accolade is he's such a Talmud Chacham. What's a Talmud? He's a student. He's always learning. And it's so important for us, for our children, and for some of you, your grandchildren, and for some of you, your great-grandchildren, Kanayin Ahar and Kain Yerbu, they have to see that we are also always learning. We are also always a book, which our elders inscribe upon us. And that's the best example of teaching them that Torah is as sweet as honey. Not only to lick the candy and not only to lick the honey from the Aleph Mem Tov, but to see their parents interested in a life of learning, to see their parents excited by the sweetness of Torah. That is the biggest example of the power of learning and passing on the Mesorah. And that's what Leil HaSeder is all about. Your child will ask you, and you must tell them. When the young child was first brought to school, it was said in those times, it was as though he had been brought to Har Sinai. I'm still going to need this, but okay. Related to this idea of chinuch, I saw this year also an insight I never saw before that maybe you saw. Remember, we added a chiddush this year. Vehi is Shisha Sidra Mishnah Chamisha Chim Shetar Sarasa Dibros and Eretz Yisrael. So I saw something I never saw before, right in the beginning of Magid, like Mamash right in the beginning. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azari v'Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Saru Gemalkus, we already spoke about, v'Rabbi Tarfon, shahayu mesubim b'Bnei Brach, v'hayu mesaprim, we just spoke about the power of Sipur, v'yitzias Mitzrayim kol oso halayla, ad shabal tamidein v'amru lehem rabboseinu higiyas man kriya shema shal shachris. You're going on so long, you don't even know what time it is. Very short, Varva, very powerful. I don't remember which Haggadah I saw it in. Because I saw it a few weeks ago. It relates to the idea of Sharon. I even mentioned it to my son. I said, this is so beautiful. I don't remember which Haggadah. It's not my own Haggadah. I think it's brought down in the name of the great Berdichever, Rav Levi Yitzchak mi Berdichev. Shachris, Adshet Rabab Seinu. What is Kriya Shema Shel Shachris? Kabbalas Om Malchus Shemayim. It's not only saying the words, it's accepting the sovereignty of God and the yoke of Mitzvos upon myself. Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. It's accepting the yoke of Mitzvos upon myself. Shachris is an acronym, says Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev. Leide Chaser, without the Yod, okay? She'enu Yodea Lishol, Chacham Rasha Tam. You heard that before? Did anyone ever hear that before? It's not a trick question. I'm just asking. I was so taken by it. I thought it was so beautiful. What is the lesson? Shachris without the yod, right? She'eino yodei alif. It's the arba banim. Keneged arba banim dibra Torah echad chacham echad rasha echad tam echad she'eino yodei alif. We have four children. We're continuing with the theme of chinuch, for children who sit around the Leil HaSeder with us. We spoke about Rav Asher Weiss, the names of the patriarchs that they called the Mount of God, the field of God, the house of God is a lesson. Chinuch, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs of Salvechik on Sofer, Sipur, Sefer, all related to Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So they're sitting and teaching and learning and talking in Torah all night. And so their students come and they say, our rabbis, it is the time for accepting Kabbalah's Olmachu Shemayim upon ourselves. But Shachris stands for Shinne She'eino Yodea Lishol. The Ches is obviously the Chacham. The Resh is the Rasha, and the Tav is the Tam. So what is the lesson? It was brought down in the Haggadah I saw in the name of the Berdichever, that a person must be engaged in the lessons of Amuna, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, until all four children are ready to accept Kabbalah's Kol Malchus Shemayim upon themselves. When it comes to Chinuch HaBanim, we don't give up. One might be a She'eni Yodea, the other a Chacham, the other a Rasha in the moment, and the other a Tam, but we keep talking, teaching, learning, studying on ourselves. So if you don't study yourself, how are you going to pass it on? If you don't have a Havas Torah, how are you going to teach them? If you don't know anything, how are you going to teach them anything? So what do? And yes, you could teach them and send them to a Beit Sefer, but you got to build the bias. Shain Shachris says that keep talking and teaching and learning and expanding until all four sons are ready to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim upon themselves. So this insight, the next one from Rav Asher Weiss Haggadah, I read before even the first year. And I didn't have time for it in the first year, which was Shvo Chamascha. And I didn't have time for it in the second year, which was Dayidu. I am teaching this insight. So here we go. It was sort of the impetus for this whole Shir series. Okay? 2 hours and 45 minutes of introduction to get to what I thought was so cool. No, it's not really true. That wasn't all really introduction. But this is really interesting. It has to do with gematrias. Okay? So I know some people tend to be skeptical of gematria. You have to know who, like my brother told me many years ago, my brother Rabbi Dov Fried, he said, you have to know who's saying the gematria. Right? If it's an emistic, yasher, toradic, upstanding individual, then it's an emistic. And also, to me, gematria, when it comes from such a source, reminds us of the beauty, the unbelievable, incredible beauty of Torah. That the whole Lashon HaKodesh has so many secrets and ramazim that a human being cannot fathom this on their own or come up with this on their own. Here we go. Rav Asher Weiss teaches, remember, Balanu Espesa Bechira, Dayenu, the Shana Babi Yushalayim Habenuya, Ga'alnu V'Ga'al Savaseinu, the final bracha of Magid is, we should bring the Zvachim and the Psachim and the Dam should be on the Kir Mizbechachal Ratzon. We should be celebrating there with the Beis HaMikdash. This is from the Rav Asher Weiss Haggadah. Many names were given to the site upon which the Beis HaMikdash was built. Don't worry, I'm not repeating myself. Chazal tell us, I have a typo. That's why you sit in the front row. Thank you. Chazal tell us that each of the Avos gave it a different name. We already quoted this from Psachim 88a. We told a totally different insight before. Avram called it Ahar, you should all know this by now. Yitzchak called it a Sadeh, Yaakov called it a Bayis. Okay, we explain. Rav Aaron of Belz explains this based on a medrash that states, Hashem created the world using the name, okay, ready? If you have a pen, so you're going to need it for gematrias. Okay? Hashem created the world using the name Machaneh, Mem Ches Nun Hei, like an encampment. The Machaneh of Hashem. The world is, so to speak, the Machaneh of Hashem. There's a Medrash. He didn't quote where the Medrash is from, so I can look it up. But Rav Weiss, Rav Asher Weiss, he quotes Rav Aaron of Belz, who says there's a Medrash that says Hashem created the world using the word Machaneh. No, using his name, his presence. Machaneh, the world is the Machaneh Shechina. The whole world is the Machaneh Shechina. Hashem created the spiritual preparation for the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash with the power of Machaneh. Machaneh has a numeric value of 103. Mem and Nun is 90. Ches is 98. And He is 103. Okay? Good? So far we're okay. The first wall of the Beis HaMikdash symbolizes God's creation of the whole world with the power of Machaneh. Why? Ultimately, that inner camp where the Beis HaMikdash is becomes the Machaneh Shechina. The Metzorah is kicked out of Machaneh Shechina, Machaneh Leviya, and Machaneh Yisrael. The Machaneh Shechina was built from the first wall that God built with the power of Machaneh. The numeric value, like we just saw, is 103. Avram came along, and Avram added the second wall to the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about spiritually, hashkafically, proverbially. Obviously, Avram, the physical Avram, wasn't alive when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. But we mean on a hashkafic, kabbalistic, deep spiritual level, the second wall was fortified by our first patriarch, Avram Avinu. Avram gave it, therefore, an additional 103, because it has to have the power of 103, because that's how the wall and the world was created. To equal the gematria of the word Har. So Har is 205, where He is 5, and Rish is 200, plus you add, says Rav Weiss, number 1 for the word Har itself. Avram created the second wall. Did I say this right? He added 103 for another wall of Machaneh. 103 plus 103 is 206. There you go. What's 206? Har. What did Avram call the place? Har. So I told this to someone who said, they already said they don't like it, because you have to add one for the word. Har is 205 plus one is 206, but I still like it. The word Har is one word. Okay? So I still like it. So it comes from Asher Weiss, who's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim today, from Eretz Yisrael, Kimitzian Teitzei Torah. So, when something comes from such a Torah personality, if you say, I don't like it, it means there's a problem with us, not with a problem with the Vart. Okay? So the first wall, the Beis HaMikdash, was created with the power of Machaneh. Machaneh is 103. That means each wall has to add another 103 to get a complete Machaneh. So along comes Avram Avinu, he adds 103. So 103 plus 103 is 206. How do we see this in the name that Avram Avinu called the Mount of God? He called it a Har. The gematria of Har is 205, plus one for the word Har, which is one word, makes 206. Along comes Yitzchak Avinu. What does Yitzchak call it? A Sada. What's the gematria of Sada? Kofreshin. Sin is 300, Dalet is 4, He is 5, that's 309. 206 plus another 103 is? Sadak. Along comes Yitzchak. He has to add another wall. Every wall has to have the power of 103, because 103 is the Machaneh. Machaneh is going to build the Machaneh Shechina. Machaneh is the presence of God in the whole world. The whole world is his machane. So every patriarch asked power of 103 to build another wall. So by Avram with Har, we got to 206. Along comes Yitzchak. He adds another wall. So Har plus 103 is Sada. 206 plus 103 is 309. What's the gematria of Sada? 309. Along comes Yaakov. Yaakov takes another 103. 309 plus 103 is 412. What's the gematria of Bias? Tav is 400, Yud is 10, Beis is 2. Bias. With God's wall of Machane, Avram's added wall of Har, Yitzchak's added wall of Sada, and Yaakov's added wall. I mean, you can't make it up. Like, I don't know how you could say you don't like it. Like, it's so brilliant. It can't just be random that the patriarchs gave it these names, and the Medrash says Hashem created the world with Machane, and the first wall with Machane, and each wall that's added by the patriarchs in a Kabbalistic spiritual level totals another 103. Because the power of Hashem's Machane creates the Machane Shechina. The only thing missing is the roof. We have all four walls, but we're missing a roof. We were up to 412 with Bias. Because Sada plus 103 is Bias, is Yaakov's name. The roof is missing. 412 plus 103 is? Well, that's easy math. Come on. What's 515?
No.
What? I didn't hear.
No, I don't know.
What's the... It's so famous. What's... What? Torah? Now, what's 515?
Number of times Moshe
asked. Very nice. Vashchanan el Hashem ba'eis ha'hi le'mor. Devarim 3:23. E'abrana ve'era es ha'aretz ha'tova hazak. Ha'ara tova ha'levonan. And Rashi says there, it's Devarim Perek Gimel, Pesukim Chaf Gimel through Chaf. Hey, Rashi says, what did Moshe want to see? The Levonan. What's the Levonan? Rashi says, it's the Beis HaMikdash, because it's malbin the sins of Klai Yisrael. Moshe completed the Beis HaMikdash. What is 412? So we have Hashem's Machane, plus Avram's wall, which brings us to Har, plus Yitzchak's wall, which brings us to Sada, plus Yaakov's wall, which brings us to Bais. But the roof is missing. Along comes great Moshe Rabbeinu with his 515 tefillos of Vashchanan to be allowed in Eretz Yisrael. But if you look up Rashi, Rashi specifically says he wants to see the Beis HaMikdash, his 515 tefillos, which is the gematria of Vashchanan, added the roof. So he comes along to the 412, which is Hashem's Machane, plus the names of three patriarchs called Har HaBayis. He adds the roof, the power of 103, that's the gematria of Vashchanan. You don't understand?
No.
Why?
The roof
of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the gematria of roof? No. We're not doing the gematria of Choma or Kir. We're doing the gematria of the power that each patriarch Moshe invested into proverbially, kabbalistically, spiritually building the temple. Each one built part of the structure. God laid down the first wall. He laid the cornerstone, the first wall. Each patriarch added the power of Machane to another wall. 103. If you go from the word Machane to Har, you're adding 103. Har to Sada is another 103. Sada to Bias, we've gone through each of the gematrias, is another 103. But the roof is missing, so to speak. This is Kabbalistic. Moshe didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, and neither did the patriarchs. None of them were actually there. You understand? This is a spiritual. Use your imagination to our Torah. Moshe needs now to finalize the Beis HaMikdash. What's missing is, so to speak, the roof of Moshe. So how do you get him? You have to add another Machane to complete the structure. We were at 412 from Yaakov's Bias. Now we have to add the power of Machane. 412 plus 103 is 515. Moshe Rabbeinu's Vashchanan is so famous for being the gematria of 515, those tefillos that he davened to be allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael, and not only to enter Eretz Yisrael, but also to enter and see the Beis HaMikdash. If you look up Rashi, you'll see what I'm saying is true. Completed the structure in a spiritual, metaphysical sense. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was built with the power of, obviously, God, combined by the Mesiras Nefesh of the patriarchs, combined with the tefillos of Avram Avinu. So if you don't like it, I'm going to say that the lack is on your side because it comes from Rav Asher Weiss. So you can say you don't like it. I'm going to end with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, the Chad Gadya. Okay? So beautiful. There's so much to learn. It's just really mind-boggling. You want to hear a very funny story? The first year I finished teaching Parsha class, and at that point I was only teaching one class, one regular class a week, which is also funny to think of. I don't remember that time. I remember when I finished the whole cycle, it was a very small class, a few people at my house. I thought, what am I going to teach next year? You went through every Parsha. No, I really thought that. So Baruch Hashem, it shows you how far we've come. But the boundless sea and the depths of Torah and beauty, the beauty of Divrei Torah is just so mind-boggling. Ma hafti sarasecha kol yom yisichasi lulei soras chashashu ay azavadati ba'ani. And I think you can really understand why we say, ilu nasananu es ha-Torah velo hichnisanu l'Eretz Yisrael dayenu. Of course we need Eretz Yisrael. Of course we love Eretz Yisrael. Of course I cry about Eretz Yisrael. But it's the Torah that's our life and the length of our days. I want to end with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Techad Gadya. A message of hope. So we already spoke a little bit about Chad Gadya based on Echad Miyodeh, the songs of the children. We end one of Judaism's most sacred rituals, Leil HaSeder, with a children's song that tells us much about what sustained Judaism as a faith. And our faith has been sustained longer under more arduous circumstances than any other heritage in the West. The Jewish love of children means that the Jews look forward to the future even more than we look back to the past. Just as we begin the Seder with the question of a child, Ma nishtana halayla zemikol halelos, we conclude it with a nursery rhyme, reminding ourselves that what sustains our faith is not great strength or power, but the ability to inspire successive generations of children to add their voices to the people's song. The first one in this three-part series was Shvach HaMascha and the Gula Asida. The second was Dayenu. And the third shir is the overarching and reaching theme of Chinuch HaBanim as related to Leil HaSeder. But remember, we're all Tamidim. So when I include Chinuch HaBanim, you should be included in that. The minute you stop learning is the minute that it is woe unto us. Chad Gadya reminds us that Jews have an ability to inspire successive generations of children to add their voices to our people's song. The song itself, disarming in simplicity, teaches us the great Jewish truth and the great Jewish hope. And though many nations, symbolized by the cat and the dog and so on, attacked Israel, the goat, each in turn has vanished into oblivion. At the end of the day, God will vanquish the angel of death and inaugurate a world of life and peace. And life and peace, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, are the two great Jewish loves. What does a Jew love? Life. Chai. Every time we give tzedakah, you know, it's so funny. On Amazon, you could choose a gift card in denominations of 25, 50, 75, 100. Have you ever gone to artschool.com? Do you know what the denominations of 18, 36, true story. I've been there a number of times. 54, 72. The two great Jewish loves are life and peace. And in the end of days, God will ultimately slay death. And all the nations of the world, represented by all who ultimately attacked the goat. Perhaps, too, there is a deeper symbolism. The kid that is eaten by the cat, not your child, the goat, the Chad Gadya, the one goat, eaten by the cat, reminds us of the story of Yosef, who was sold into slavery. By the way, there's also allusions to him. Karpas, look up Rashi. Vayitbulu es ketonis bedam, karpas, okay. His brothers then slaughtered a kid, dipped Yosef's coat into blood, and showed it to their father to persuade him that Yosef had been killed by a wild animal. Outwardly, Jacob accepted the story. However, the Torah tells us, "Vayima'ein lihinachem," he refuses to be comforted. Jewish law states there's a limit to a period of mourning. A person is not allowed to mourn indefinitely. Why then does it say that Jacob would never be comforted? A profound rabbinic commentary explains there is a time limit to mourning, only when we are certain of death. Yaakov never gave up believing there was a chance, no matter how slim, that Yosef was still alive. His refusal to be comforted was a refusal to give up hope. And in the end, it was justified. By the way, who else refuses to be comforted? His beloved wife. Kol berama nishma, nehi b'chi tamrumim, Rachel mevak al baneh, me'ena lehinachem al baneh ki einenu. Yosef was alive, and eventually they were reunited. Chad Gadya expresses the Jewish refusal to give up hope. Though history is full of man's inhumanity to man, represented by the dog, which bites the cat, the stick that hits the dog, that is not the end of the story. The Haggadah ends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malach ha'mavas, d'shachat l'shochei, d'shachat l'sora, d'shasa l'maya, d'chava l'nura, d'sar v'chutra, d'hika l'kalba, d'nashach l'shunra, d'achla l'gadya, v'zabin abba bisrei zuzei chad gadya. At the end of the day, there will be one nation and one God. A fitting end for the story of the people who are dedicated to Moshe's great command, Uvacharta v'chayim, you shall choose life. So I wish everybody a meaningful, I hope that these three shiurim helped all of us prepare for Leil HaSeder. Everyone has at least something to say on the night of Seder. I wish you a chag, kasher v'sameach, and a wonderful Shabbos. No shiur for the next 2 weeks, okay? Thank you so much, everybody. A wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov to all. One second, please.